Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
Again, we say God is good, and He cares for each one of us, and He wants us to know Him. The last couple of weeks, we have been talking about Christmas and how Christmas was first is an invitation from God to know Him. And then we said it was a declaration in that it was the way that God has declared a way to know Him. And this morning, as we look at the Lord's Supper, or as we went through this service, we realize from a picture what God did in order for us to know Him and come into that relationship with Him, to know His will for our lives. Now, if you would, this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. There he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." And this is something that God has done for you and me. We have external actions that will always speak of an internal action that has taken place, and that is that we know what this is all about. We have experienced it in our heart, and as a result of it, our lives proclaim it. And then verse 5, "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Him, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace." You know, we could stop there and spend the morning and actually the whole day discussing what has just been said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, God's grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has proposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Man, a lot been said there. Amen? A lot had been said. But this morning, the thing I want to focus in on today, and maybe the weeks and the months ahead throughout the new year, and that is to know what God's will is for our lives. And how can we know what God's will is? If in verse 7 it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Notice what he says in verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had proposed in Himself." Here, the mystery of His will. And what is His will? I've heard people say in times past, "I wish I could find God's will for my life." I wish I could find God's will for my life. This morning, I can tell you this, that you don't have to search very far to find God's will for your life. Because God's will for your life, God's will for my life, and God's will for His church and for His people is, number one, has never been lost. So you don't have to search for it. It's always been out in the open. It's been proclaimed since the very beginning of time what God's will is for humanity. And that is that they would come to know Him and know what His will for their lives is. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times what we do is when we begin to look for God's will, we want God's will in what we would consider the unrevealed will of God, and we want it now. God, tell me, what do you have in store for me for the future? You know, if you're young, maybe, who is it that you want me to marry? Or these types of questions, the unrevealed will of God for our lives. But let me say to you this morning, I think most of you would know this already, that you will never know the unrevealed will of God for your life, and nor would I ever know what the unrevealed will of God is for my life, except first I began to do what is considered to be the revealed will of God for my life, the things that I know to do. I have visited people in their homes who would never go to church, and they say, well, I wish that God would just tell me what it is He wanted me to do. Well, I can tell you what God wants you to do that's been revealed in His Word, and that is to get involved in what He wants you to be involved in, His church. And then Bible reading and all these different things. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against ye. You know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These are the known will of God. Once we begin to implement these into our life, then God begins to reveal to us what His unrevealed will is for our life. And then we begin to grow in a deeper relationship with Him, and we begin to understand Him. And then as we begin to understand Him, we begin to express His will in our action and the things that we do. Isn't that great? Not do we do it. It's not necessarily that we do it as much as it is that God does it. And all God asks us to do is the things that we know to do. Just be responsible in the area that I've told you. And if you're responsible in those, He said, I promise you that I'll be responsible in all the other areas. And do the things that I want to do in your life. I will reveal to you the great things that I want to accomplish in and through you and me. Now, if that's true, if we know this to be the truth, and it is the truth because that's what God says, if we know that truth, is how do we make these things happen in our lives? Let me tell you what the first thing has to take place in an individual's life in order for this to take place. The first thing that has to happen is the person has to have a desire for it. You have to develop this desire to know God. How many of you got some bad habits? Man, I'm telling you, I got some bad habits. I think He's the chief of all bad habits. No, we all got bad habits. But there ought to be good habits in our lives also. I remember back, and I've shared this with you before, I remember back years ago, when I first became a Christian, there were some habits I had in my life I knew that I had to get rid of. And I remember walking out of that church, I said, I'm not going to do this, we've all been there. But then Karen would tell me, and I'd say, I'm getting rid of that habit, I'm getting rid of this habit, I'm going to get rid of that habit, and all these other habits, and I'm going to start doing the good thing. And then Karen told me, she said, well, you need to develop good habits. And I told her, I remember saying to her, and she probably remembers this, I told her, I said, I'm not going to develop no habits. You know, I'm not going to get into no habits of doing things because I wanted to get rid of habits. But then I realized that there are good habits and things that we really need to do and build up on. There's good habits to get into our life, like reading God's Word. That's a good habit. Wouldn't you agree with me? Get involved in church. That's a good habit. Doing these things. But let me tell you something. As we begin to develop these habits in our lives, which I do now, As we begin to develop these habits in our life and we begin to grow in these areas and we trust God by faith and God begins to reveal himself to a greater degree, then we begin to see God do some awesome things in our life. Notice what he says again in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to a good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. What is it that God wants to reveal? Himself. To know him to a greater degree, isn't it? A desire. How many of you are familiar with Revelation? Some of you say, I've never read it. Others say, I read it all the time. But I'm not going to take you to Revelation, but get a chance sometime. Read Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 down through there. It deals with the church that was in Ephesus. Now, the church in Ephesus was doing some things there that were really important things to be done in the church. Because the Lord appears to them and he says, you know, you're doing some great things. You're really busy. You know, now it's not only to develop the habits, but have a motive for why we do the habits that we develop. And that is back to the word desire. God, I'm doing this because I want to know you. I shared with you a guy by the name of Clovis Danover years ago, and he was on his deathbed dying. He had spent his life in the ministry, and there on that moment of time, when if he's getting ready to go into eternity, that very day, his grandson was there talking to him and trying to witness to him, and Clovis told him, said, listen, everything is fine, everything is good. I'm in the will of God. I know it. I've walked with the Lord all these years. I developed this relationship with him, and this is the day that I have lived for. And that's the day we live for, isn't it? We grow in a relationship here with him. We develop these things coming to understand him, because you're going to go on down through here because he's going to talk about an inheritance that he had in you and me there in eternity and how you and I will touch God. If we go back up to the verse where we get, blessed be the God, how do you bless God? You ever stop thinking, how do you bless God? He's omnipotent. He's got everything. You can't give him a pair of shoes like you did your husband and wife this Christmas. You can't give him a new tie. So how do you bless God? The way you bless God as you go through here is, you and I know, is the way you bless God is you walk in the will of God. It's to know what God wants for your life. And as you know these things, you walk in that relationship feeling close with him and see and know what it is he's doing. And you know, God said, I'm happy with that. He looks down upon you and upon me like he did with Job in the Old Testament. And he told Satan, he said, look at Job, my faithful servant. And that's walking in God. It's a desire to know God. In that Ephesus, in that church, if you remember how it began in Acts, they were all excited about the things of God. I mean, they were on fire for the things of God. They were on fire for the people of God. They were on fire for Paul. They loved Paul. Whenever Paul was talking about going back to Rome, they even met him and told him, said, Paul, you're making a mistake. If you go there, they will kill you. Don't go. They was in love with him. Now, fast forward about 30 or 40 years in Revelation, John writes Revelation. He said, listen, you guys are still doing a lot of things that you used to do, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. He said, so here's what I am cautioning you to do. He said, the thing I caution you to do is find your first love again. Fall in love with God. That's what it's all about. It's knowing God is real, falling in love with him, growing in a relationship with him, developing that relationship, and allowing it to be expressed throughout him. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Anyone in this room could quote that verse. It says, for by grace are you saved, through faith that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then there, if you go into the next verse, verse 10 says there that you and I was created for a specific purpose, and the purpose that we were created for was to do good works and do good things. God created us to do these things. And how do we do those things? If first it develops from a desire in our hearts to know God and walk in a relationship with him. And folks, let me tell you something. If you're young, which we have a few people in here that's young, I would hope that the older ones have already developed this in their life, that you had this desire for God, you walked in that relationship with God to where you're coming to the end of your life and you know how great God is and you know what great things God can do, and you're expecting great things out of God as you walk out of this life. But I am. But if you're here and you're young this morning, you're just beginning your journey, I tell you, have a desire, develop a desire. First, begin the habits if you have to, but develop those habits to where they become a desire to know God and do the things that you do for God, that it will bless God, and watch how God will bless you in turn. Amen? Man, I tell you what, and this is for me, all right? There are times whenever I begin, now this is just for me, all right? And I'm sure it applies to a lot of you too. But there are times when I sit down and I begin to read God's word, and the Spirit of God begins to move through his word and begins to reveal and talk to my heart and my spirit and my soul, that I have to truly back off. I have to, because the power of God that begins to move and close in. It's just too much. And the thing of it is the more that we desire God, the more God desires to have a relationship with us, the more that God desires to have a relationship with us, more he reveals himself to us and his plan for us. How many of you see yourself in eternity someday? Some of you say, that's too far off. Some of us say, man, that's just a few days away. Some of us say the rapture might happen next week, it wouldn't surprise me. I was telling Bill and I was kicking around just a minute earlier, but you know, the UN has an agenda, and they have kept this secret for a long time, but it's beginning to come out. And one of their agenda is to have a supreme ruler of the world by 2030. That's 5 years away. That's an invitation for the Antichrist. That's Revelation being full blown. And that's rapture around the corner, a desire. So, you know, if he looks at that church and says, I want you to have a desire. If you read through Ephesians chapter 1, you see those who have a desire. And remember, in the past, I've told you, we spend a lot of time in Ephesians, and the word Ephesian means desire. It means desire. And I don't know, you can go into other, you know, this and this, and what it means this, but it means desire. The end result of it is, Paul, as he is writing this book of Ephesians, he's saying to those, this is desire for you. This is desire from God for you. This is what God desires of you. And not only that, but he said, this is what I desire from you. And then we should have this desire for him. And then there we have the book of Ephesians, desire. So to know God's will and plan for our life, the unrevealed will of God begins with the revealed will and the desire to know it. And the second thing we get from this, if you want to know God's revealed will, just begin looking for it. We can stay here for a while. God reveals who he is through nature. We know that, how great he is. Folks, how great do you think your God really is? How big is he? I mean, he's big enough to create the whole universe. That's pretty big in my book. I have a hard time baking the pie. And Karen only trusts me with the can of Lux beans. But our God made all of this, that universe made it for you. And for me. Now, I see myself, I don't know about you, but I see myself in eternity. I got a big vision, all right? I'm bouncing around all those little stars out there. You're going to have a hard time catching me out there. Now, the Lord might have other plans, but that's what I kind of see. I want to see all of this that God has made. And I'm sure in the near future, I'm going to get a chance to. Why? Because God is involved in this. Read down through this, if you would. And take and see the things that God had revealed through his word for you and for me that's come. But God reveals himself through creation. He reveals himself through his laws. He reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through his spirits. He reveals himself to his people. Just listen. You ever heard people say amazing things? I've heard people say some dumb things. But God reveals himself to his people if you'll just watch and listen. We had a professor years ago, he said this, and we're all bent towards doing bad things sometimes because of our fallen nature. So we do these things, right? And I don't know how many of us in here do the bad things that we shouldn't do, like Paul said he did in Romans, but we have this nature to do that. We have the bent nature to do bad things. And God knows that. But God still cares. And he still reveals himself to us, to his people. And we had a professor one time say this. He said, if you see people doing bad things, and it might be directed towards you, but I want you to understand something. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them dealing with the problem in their life. And he said, what I want you to do is see beyond the problem and see the person and work with that individual. I thought that was kind of neat. Man, how many times have we seen that? Paul on the road to Damascus, he's trying to kill all these Christians. Jesus appears to him. So Paul, quit doing that, you know, basically. Why are you doing that? Why are you persecuting me? And Paul would say, I'm not persecuting you. I'm killing all these Christians. What's that got to do with you? And Jesus said, well, you're not just killing them. You're fighting me. So you have a problem. And the problem you have is not with them. The problem you have is with me. Straighten it out. And that's what God tells us to do. See him through people, good things or bad things. Find God. Man, can't we stay here all day long and do this? Some of you say, after I got my nap done, we could. Hey, did you hear Karen that she, I just got to throw this in. Did you hear Karen that she introduced that song? She said something, and she learned this from me. She introduced that song. She said, turn to page whatever, y'all. That's my word, y'all. So y'all listening, right? That God is good. Desire. From the desires, it moves to a vision. It moves from a desire to a vision, to begin to see what God can do. Now, I wanted to spend a little bit of time here, but I'm not, because I don't have a lot of time. But here's the thing. I don't know how many people were here when we came here, Karen and I. I don't know. I didn't have a count. But I remember one time in that we set a goal to have 75 people here on a Sunday. Remember that? And some of you do. And then we ended up with, I think, about 69 people. And then the next time on Pastor's Appreciation Sunday, we decided, well, let's change that. Let's have 100. All right? And I thought, 100? Can we get 100? And then I don't know what we got on Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. I don't remember the numbers, but we were nowhere near 100. We were up in there. But then at the play that we did, I don't know how many of you all know, we almost had 100. Brother Joel, I think you said we had over 90, I think it was.
About 92.
About 92 or 93. So what we say is, you know, we began with these little things and we begin to see God doing this and this. So what is our vision for next year? What do we see? I'm telling you, God bring people away. And he's opening up doors for us to do things. And all we have to do is just step in and allow God's will to be revealed in us, in his church. And then we'll see what God can do. Great thing. Isn't it wonderful to know that? Even in this small church, God can do wonderful things. And he's already doing wonderful things. Now, if we believe all this, that it begins with desire and then ends with a vision to see, what else do we need? And I'll let you guys fill that in, but I'm not. I'm going to give it to you. The next thing we need is the courage. The courage to allow God to lead us into places that we've never been before. Well, maybe we've been there and we need to go back again, but allow God to give us the courage to step out and run with it. Listen, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I'll tell you, you can know him. All it takes is a desire and a vision and the courage to acknowledge him for who he truly is. Jesus, listen, Jesus is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and he came into the world 2,000 years ago, and he's coming back again. If you don't know him, you don't want to meet him, even though you will. I will close with this verse in the Bible, and I think it's in John, somewhere around the 14th chapter. Jesus came, and he was talking to his disciples, and he said to his disciples this. He says, you know, I come to reveal myself, and I'm paraphrasing this. He said, I've come to reveal myself to the world and reveal God to the world. And as a result of coming into the world, he says, man has an option. They can either choose to receive the knowledge or they can choose to refuse the knowledge. You have an option to do that. And this morning, if you're unsaved, you want to stay that way, you have an option. You can do that. God gives it to you. And that's good. God does that. But that's the revealed will of God. But I'll give you another revealed will of God, and that's this. One of these days, if you tarry, you're going to get old like us if you're young. And if you're old, your time is running out, and you're going to go into eternity with God. You might be even put in a grave. And can you imagine being in a grave somewhere, unsaved, and the voice of Jesus speaks, calls your name, and tell you to come out. And then like the old way, where God gives you a choice to either receive or not to receive, to acknowledge or not to acknowledge under the old way, now he says to you, come out and meet me as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine that person laying in the grave looking up saying, I ain't coming? No. You're coming. You're going to meet Jesus one way or the other someday, either now or in eternity, and you will see him for who he is, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and the Savior of mankind. And folks, listen to me. I was just talking to a bunch the other day as we got together, and I was telling them, this is coming, and it's coming soon. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready in Jesus and what he did. Amen. He's good. He's good. Stand with me at the close of prayer. Father, this morning, as we close this service with this song of invitation, your will be done. But that's what we want in each of our lives. If there's a decision that needs to be made, this is a time. Whatever those decisions might be, Father, again, your will be done. Your spirit moves and your spirit reveals. And as that takes place in our heart, we are the only ones that knows, and we need to respond to what you tell us to do. In order to know you, to grow in a deeper relationship with you, yield to you. The altar is open to anyone that needs to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. For listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.